Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Looking forward to our video today. I believe this will start to end some of the good versus evil that we've talked about, flesh world versus spirit and God. Now, we're not going to ever really end that, but as far as the way that we've been going, we'll get into some things on love the next session. But today, let's finish up on some of these thoughts that we have. But let's first and foremost go right back over some of the reasons why we're doing this. Number one is to help people to have a more real, tangible relationship with God. Number two, to get answers to your prayers. Number three, to be able to share testimonies instead of just scriptures with individuals as to what God is doing in your life. All right, so let me adjust this just a little bit here. Let's go, as we always have, to Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 to 30 in the Message Bible that says, "Now Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say." This is a unique father and son operation coming out of father and son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Well, praise the Lord. Let's just get back into a scripture here that I want to just go over again. It's Colossians 2, 6 and 7. And in the Message Bible, we'll get into that in just a second here. Making another adjustment to the camera there. Okay. And it says this in the Living Bible. "And now, just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust him too for each day's problems. Live in vital union with him. Let your roots grow down deep into him and draw up nourishment from him." Okay, so live in vital union with him. Well, you know, vital, if you took your vital signs, those would be the major organs that were the most important in your body. You'd want to make sure that those vital signs were important. Well, if we're living in vital union with him, then the vitality of our life, the most important thing in our life, is the union that we have with Jesus. When I say union, I just mean the harmony, the interaction, the ability to be involved with God, be aware, recognize him. All these things that cause God to be able to come off the pages of the Bible and get into your life. Now, we would never take away from the beauty of the scriptures living in your heart. In fact, because those scriptures live in our heart, great peace have we that love thy law. And so, Lord, I thank God for the scriptures. And we continue to go over the scriptures as evidence to the fact that it's so important. But how necessary is it to allow Jesus to become so real and start to live in your life? So, and this is really funny. I'm doing this video, and one of our friends, Ed Salt, actually sent me, I think sent my wife $10 or something, or some, you know, small amount, so that we could go out and get this new tripod here. And I haven't done it yet. So we will do it. We will do it. Promises. If I have to, I'll get Aaron to help me. The Message Bible says, "My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ, the Master. Now live him." Do you know, folks, we can preach Jesus, we just aren't as good at living Jesus. And that's exactly what this just got through saying. It's one thing to talk about him. It's another thing to experience him throughout the day. And so going on, it says, "You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it, and let your living spill over into giving." Well, you know, this is really important and very, very practical. I mean, how long do you go over your owner's manual of your new truck until you start driving it? How many times do you go over the recipe until you start cooking? You know, really and honestly, it's not until you begin to cook or drive that you really begin to make practical sense out of what you read. know Brother Hagin said this to me years ago. He made reference to the fact of me stepping out. And he said to me, he said, Jim, over all these years of ministry, over 95% of the ministers that I know gave up at the moment of their miracle. He said, you know, we become afraid of stepping out. He said, but here's the thing. If you don't step out, you never learn whether what you have in your heart was accurate or whether it wasn't accurate. And he said this to me as encouragement. He said, I've learned more by what I've gotten wrong than what I've gotten right in all these 67 years of ministry. So what was he trying to say? He's trying to say, listen, missing it is a part of your experience of life. I mean, when you're driving on the road and you look down and you swerve, well, then you learn. Don't look down. Be more careful that if you were to look to the right or left, you don't make your arms or hands go with it so that you turn the car. Keep the car going straight. I mean, just little simple things. You put too much sugar, you put too much salt, and all of a sudden you think, oh, I ruined it. I ruined the meal that I had. Well, this is a part of learning what we want to learn in order to be able to experience God with regularity until it's really, really normal in our life, that Jesus is just a part of everything we do. And so I like this. It says, quit studying the subject, start living it, let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Now, real quickly, Colossians 2, 9 to 10, and the Amplified says, for in him, the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. And you are in him. So think about this. Paul's saying in Jesus is the fullness and the divine expression of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But he's now living in you, which means the full expression of God is living in you, which means we should have full expressions of God everywhere we live, everywhere we go. It should be really, really normal, not irregular, but very regular. Like wake up in the morning and it's back to Romans and 8 and the Message Bible where it says, what's next, Papa? Which is a little boy saying to his daddy, I had so much fun doing what we did. What else are we going to do? And this is the life of the believer. It's kind of hard to believe it could be this good. It's not just the eternal hope that we have in heaven. It's not just the beautiful doctrine that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. We've been redeemed from the law. Thank God by his grace we can live in the righteousness and live in love and live in all these wonderful big names, you know, that we always preach about. But the truth of the matter is, can you just enjoy Jesus all day long? If you do, and you begin to practice this, it'll become normal for Jesus to actually get into your life. You say, well, how come he just doesn't do it by himself? Well, why don't you ask like 30, 40 million or 100 million Americans or 500 million or a billion, Christians, a billion Christians all over the world. How come it just doesn't work automatically? In other words, if it worked automatically, don't you think we've been seeing all kinds of things take place? Don't you think we'd have more testimonies and we would know what to do with? And anybody that came to Jesus would automatically know, if I can get to this person, God, he will literally bless my life so much and I will have a new friend that will live with me, love me, and walk with me. Come on, that's not the message we're hearing. We're hearing, go to church. Go to church, be in the pew. And I'm not against going to church and be in the pew if you're learning these kind of things where you can go in your day. Come on, there's 2 hours that you'll spend in a building on a Sunday. But what about the rest of the time of your life? 6 days and 2 hours of the day. What are you going to do with that time? Can you enjoy Jesus at that moment and in those moments as much or more? Well, these are the questions that are important. So it says the complete expression of the divine nature is in Jesus, and you are in him made full and have come to fullness of life. That's fullness of God's Zoe, the divine nature and life of God himself. This essence of God that literally is in my cells, it's in my blood, it's in every part of me, and it literally is the composition of my spiritual being. I'm not a spirit trying to be like God. I am a spiritual being made so much in the image and likeness of God that the composition of my nature is God himself, which allows God unhindered to come and live within me. And if I'll just open my heart and mind to the grace of God, I can have God expressions All the time. It says, and in Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. Come on over to Matthew chapter 6. And this is kind of some review right here, but it's a really good time to end with this review as we're getting ready to go into some things on the love of God. And so I want to start in verse 19. And you know, this is the Message. And I don't use the Message Bible only, just for some of you that are King James only people. You know, you can find the truth in really, you should be able to find the truth in any good translation. It's just certain translations help to bring to the top, in my opinion, bring to a fullness of my thoughts what's really being said. And I love this particular passage of Jesus talking about spiritual things here in Matthew 6, 19. Don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by rust and corroded by rust, eaten by moths, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moths, rust, and burglars. You know, this is kind of difficult because everything about society, I'm talking fast because we don't have much time. Everything about society is spend what you got right now. Don't save it all for the future. And if you get that mindset, you know, not being diligent with your finances, not being responsible, then what will happen is in life, you'll just live for the day and not live for eternity. In other words, it makes far more sense to make spiritual deposits every single day than it does to make fleshly deposits every day. Because spiritually, you'll begin to see the payout immediately in God's presence with you, and your friendship with him will be the most important thing you could have ever dreamed of having. So going on further, stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moss, rust, and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Again, you've heard me say this before, but that's one of the toughest scriptures in the Bible because it nails your hide to the wall. Where your passions are, where your time is, where your value is the thing that you actually do value or want the most. And you can say, I want more of God with all my heart. But if the time, the value, the emotions, the feelings, the thoughts aren't for him, but are for everything else, then maybe it's not as true as you'd like it to be. Come on, I'm not trying being hard on you, but this is important. If you can locate where you're at, you can begin to go where you need to go. Well, it says right here, your eyes are the windows to your body, verse 22. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up in light. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a dank cellar. And if you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you'll have. Simply saying this, when your heart is open, when your eyes are open, your heart, your mind is open to the grace of God, I guarantee you, you'll find it everywhere. It's just when other things get in and distract you that you'll have a difficulty finding that which is or should be your heart's desire. So open up your eyes, open up your heart and your mind. You can't worship, verse 24, two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money both, which means the same thing. You can't worship God and anything else both. Your adoration must be for the Lord, and the Lord's wonderful grace will give you the ability to actually function in life, not only with relationships, but function according to the way you need to prosper in life, function in the fun things you do in life, function in your body's healing in life. As you give your adoration to God, the life of God will go into your body and do wonders and cause you to be able to experience good things. Listen, verse 25. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, isn't it interesting that it's your decision? It follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. He's not trying to tell you don't need to be kept. You don't need to, have good hygiene. He's just saying it's the overabundance of being so overwhelmed with the world and its goods that pulls you away from God and the Spirit. You go on further. It says this, look at the birds, verse 26, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God, and you count far more to him than birds. That's the love of our Father God trying to help you to just relax so much and let go of the struggle. Stop trying so hard. Let God catch up and begin to do wonderful things in your life. Maybe it's time even to look a little bit at the things I'm looking right now at, a whole bunch of snow here, some of the beautiful trees in our yard, and just the beauty of it, and the sun shining on the snow and the beautiful blue sky. Put it all together. That's God's grace, folks, whether you like it or not, it is. Even the coolness of the breeze, it's God's grace. If you'll just fall in love with the things that God's done around you, you won't be so distracted by the thing that man has done. We go on further, it says this. It said, instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop, but have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of them are never even seen. Don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? He goes on to say, what I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. Can you get a hold of this? Can you focus on the things that matter long enough to get your heart quiet so you begin to sense his grace? People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you both know God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, and God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. I love this here. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. I love this here. The next verse, it says, when Jesus concluded his address, the crowd burst into applause. They had never heard teaching like this. It was apparent that he was living everything he was saying, quite a contrast to the religious teachers. This was the best teaching they had ever had. In the last few seconds, I'll say, let the grace experiences in the next week be the most simplest of simplest that they are. Notice something in nature every single day for the next week and endear your heart to the things of God. Even when you're busy, continue to thank him that he's there and ask him to help you to see things and know things and show you things, because grace is everywhere. And when you get a chance to look outside, take some quiet moments to let grace show you how real God is. Go to our YouTube channel, if you'd like, called Adventures in Grace. Subscribe, that'd be wonderful. Go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and you can follow us. By all means, go to jimhockaday.com and find our email, which is jhm@jimhockaday.com. We want to hear your grace testimonies and stories. If some of you would just send in these simple little things, you'll begin to progress. If you'll tell it, you'll see it. When you see it, tell it. Show and tell. Work with the Lord. He really wants to get into your life. Until next time, we're going to get into the love of God. You'll love this. God bless you.